What about you? He says, we rode, going back in the car, and I was telling you about my desires, and you said to me, make sure to just stay away from seminary. And I started talking to him about the whole institutionalized, licensed, educated, ministerial position, and so you know, he prayed about it, and now he's a pastor. He went through the school of the Spirit. He let God raise him up. He didn't let man raise him up. As a matter of fact, he got ordained through a church, a large church in Fairbanks, from a pastor who was a Nazarene who got filled with the Holy Ghost. They kicked him out of his church. 3/4 of his church went with him, and now they got about 900,000 people going to this guy's church. And he had a relationship with this guy, and through a process of time, this man prayed over him, ordained him to recognize the anointing on his life, and has fellowshipped him and released him into the ministry in Kodiak. And there's just a different, well, the difference is how you feel now and how you felt 3 weeks ago or a week ago.
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the difference. And that's what we want to walk in, guys. We want to walk in the Spirit. There's issues with all of us. There's things that we're hanging on to, we're afraid of, we're covering up, or we're disinterested in or interested in, you know. And it's between each one of us and Jesus personally. It really is. For what you want. Because like Rick said, there's no limit. It's up to us.
That's the first scripture that I read too. It says, Rick said also, being thirsty, you have to be hungry for the word. And it says all of that, what he said and what he just said, he said also. And let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. There's no limit, obviously.
Let him who is athirst. Does that say anything to us? The spiritual ministry of Jesus. That's right, Andre. What did Jesus say? Those that hunger and thirst shall be filled. I read the ministry of Jesus, I don't know if it was this last week or the week before, Isaiah 58. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke, that you break every yoke, that you break every yoke. Is it not to deal your bread to the hungry? You know, look at Jesus' ministry. Like I said, he didn't follow people around trying to get them saved. He responded to those that were hungry. He responded to those that wanted something. Now, I say our lack of... What do you think our lack of hunger is, anyway?
Go back to our appetite.
Mm.
forsaking.
Yes. Not forsaking. Man, has anybody here ever been really hungry? I mean, I'm not saying, you know, you missed breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and you woke up hungry. Has anybody here ever been really hungry? I've been really hungry a couple of times. K-rations tasted great.
Yeah.
C-rations that probably were packaged during World War II.
Yeah.
I drank beer in the Philippines that was left over from World War II. So, you know, when you're really hungry, you'll eat almost anything. Mm-hmm. And some people will eat anything. They'll eat people. I mean, there's several accounts of cannibalism. Alfred Packer in the Gold Rush times in Colorado. The soccer team, the Parker Expedition.
You think that's wrong after a person's already dead?
I think it's wrong. Yeah, there's something wrong with it, Jeremy. It's not partaking of communion, if that's what you're asking.
Yeah.
So,
that's how they reason it. The guy's already dead, you know, he's just starving, you know, it's either eat or die.
I see we have some work to do.
I think I'm going to be non on that guy.
Well, you have something?
But yeah. Make
sure he's fed
well. Well, that's what I was. When you go out to the biggest guys first, like Tony and Brandon and
James. That's what I was talking about. Sunday, the question that I had.
Go ahead. What question? Which one?
The question of have we am I willing to give up the things that I hold dear to myself in order to fulfill the will of the Lord in my life?
Huh.
And what I was, I just read the scripture, and we've all heard it a lot, but, you know, when I think about recently, if I really asked the Lord for anything concerning my calling, concerning, you know, me, concerning inside here, not material things, stuff like that. I don't do that anyway, but in Matthew 7 it says, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again to rend you. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asks, receives, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocks, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things unto him that asks? And you know, yesterday when we were playing golf, and I knew this was going to happen probably before we played, but I was hoping it wouldn't. is when we got going, you know, I started out the first hole and I hadn't even warmed up, but I started the first hole and I birdied the first hole. And then I got a good drive on the next hole, and I thought, okay, you know, I feel pretty good. This, you know, maybe this could go really well, you know. And but it did. And after that drive, just things just got worse. And you know, and then I think I bogeyed two holes, and then I triple bogeyed, double bogeyed, double bogeyed. And I'm telling you what, by the time that last double bogey came on that par 3, I had reached the end of myself. I mean, I carry an extra club in my bag just to break it. I kid, no, I'm serious. You laugh, but I'm serious. It's a club I don't ever use, so I carry it in there in case I just get so angry. I just want to break the club. I'm not going to break any of the ones I actually use.
Talking about making provision for the...
Gosh. And all I could think about was just how ridiculous I must look, you know, throwing clubs down, breaking them, stuff like that, you know. So, but that wasn't really what got to me, because at that point, by the time I got to that par 3 and I double bogeyed that hole, you know, I had reached the end of myself. I mean, I was so mad. I had gotten so carnal getting to that point that, you know, I knew nothing else was going to help me. And as I'm standing there on the green, waiting for you guys to finish putting, you know, I'm trying to look at myself, and I'm trying to get past this, and you know, I don't even. For me, it's just unbelievable how much I have a problem with being angry when I lose control or can't control what I'm doing.
Uh-huh.
When I have no control over a situation, it's not going my way. How angry I get.
Uh-huh.
And so. I sat there and I was wanting to get back to the cart so I could break that club. No, I'm serious. But I was thinking,
wasn't there right then.
I'm thinking to myself, I'm thinking, you know, this is not going to help. And all it's going to do is prove that you're, number one, extremely weak, and that all you do is give in and loose that spirit of anger even more. And that all you're going to do is just allow yourself to be given over to a spirit. And I already was, but I was battling within myself. And walking off the green, I mean, I know this sounds really stupid, but I mean, because it's such a problem, and not just in golf, but in my everyday life, I mean, I was at the point, I was just like, Lord, I said, you've got to help me. And that's what I said. I said, you've got to help me. Because I just cannot do this by myself. I don't know how I can get over this. I want to break that club. I want to just curse. I want to do everything. But I know it's not going to help. I don't know what to do. What can I do? Please help me. And so I decided not to break the club, and I tried to just get past it, you know. And it was from that point forward that it wasn't any major thing. It just, I can't explain it anything other than Jesus, because I parred the last three holes, none of which had good things going for them. Okay, so I went out of bounds on the one, and then I hit it 2 feet from the hole from 120 yards. And I parred the last three holes, I birdied the next two, and things changed.
They did. You shot a great round. You shot a 38.
39 on the back, yeah. And all I could do was think and know that, and it wasn't without having to continue to overcome, but I'll tell you, it did come easier. And it, because one thing that my dad said to me a couple of weeks ago is, you have to face your enemies. You have to go to war with your enemy. You have to face him, and you have to basically shut him down. You have to do that. And so when I asked the Lord for help, I also spoke to that spirit, and I mean, it's, you know, the thing is when I'm saying it, I felt funny saying it. I felt funny saying, Satan, get behind me, because it just seemed funny, you know? Here I'm saying something that Jesus was saying to Peter, you know?
And you're saying it on a golf course.
Yeah, concerning golf, and here Jesus is going to die. I'm playing golf, you know? So, I mean, it's really foolish, but it does go to show, and obviously this is something that I'm going to have to continue to work on, and it's not something that's going to come easy, but by doing that, it loosed more of a spirit of, I mean, the Lord put a spirit of peace on me, and just gave me grace, is what he did. He gave me grace, and I mean it. I was, you know, it was something that I took note of, and that, you know, I hadn't really, and I don't really ask for anything, but when I think about how badly, when I was little, how badly I wanted to live with you, or how badly I wanted to marry Amy, or how badly that I wanted to be able to have the gift of healing. And when you first said you need to ask the Lord for it. When you first said that, Jesus was so real to me when I was 6 and 7 years old that I was like, that's scary. I don't want to ask Jesus himself for this. I mean, what if he says yes? What if he, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, I was legitimately scared. And now it's like, you know, I don't even, you know, I've got so worldly and lived so much of my life unto myself that there isn't a dependence on Jesus like there was, you know. And I think that Jesus really isn't engulfed, that I'm the one that has to do it, that I'm the one that has to, and I think that about everything I do. And so when I was thinking about this scripture and just what it says about give not that which is holy unto the dogs, I mean, with what you were talking about with church and how church is really supposed to be reserved for Christians, and the things of that nature, and the things that we've been talking about in the last few weeks, in the last Sunday meetings and stuff like that, and with the scripture in Galatians, I mean, whenever I'm in these meetings and whenever I'm involved, I cannot help but be filled with faith. That's all I can describe is the basic thing that I feel whenever I'm in this meeting, Sunday meetings, whenever I'm involved in the meetings, is I feel like the Lord is imparting faith to me. And so much of the time, like Joe was talking about, we leave the meeting and the Spirit leaves us.
Mm-hmm.
You know? We don't take it with us. And so all I'm trying to say is I know that I don't, you know, I haven't valued the scripture, I haven't valued the word, and I haven't valued, obviously, the words that have been given and the word of the Lord, the Bible, because I haven't given myself to it. And so, you know, I just feel like that's something that the Lord really, obviously, is helping me with, but it doesn't, you know, it does say that he who cries upon the name of the Lord, you know, he will help him.
Yes.
And that's all I could think about yesterday as I'm crying unto you, Lord. You got to help me here because this is getting ridiculous.
But. See, the spirit of anger, whether or any spirit, it doesn't matter where it manifests, under what circumstance it manifests. It doesn't. To Jesus, you know, does it matter whether the axe murderer is watching a movie or buying toothpaste at Target? He's still an axe murderer. Everywhere he goes, he's an axe murderer. Right? So he's still a criminal, an enemy, a dangerous entity, okay? Well, it doesn't matter what we're doing or where we're doing it. The fact of the matter is, when the enemy manifests himself, Jesus is concerned. Mm-hmm. So whether you're playing golf or whether you're preaching the gospel from a platform, mm-hmm. when the enemy manifests, he's to be dealt with. Mm-hmm. And see, the level of faith, each one of you guys is at a different place in life, different measure of faith. You know, all of you have different things that are approaching your life. You younger guys, you know, you go to work for your dad, and Colt, you still working for the taco factory over there, or what? No? You work in Walmart? Great. But there's a new dynamic. There's a dynamic that confronts you guys every day. You guys, you younger guys, come winter time, are going to be out of a job. No more income, so to speak. Unless the Lord gives you something, unless the Lord leads you into some new venue of a way to make some money. But there's a pressure on all of us. All of us, the rest goes to work every day, and different ones of us have different things that confront us every day. The unique thing about the word of the Lord is it's the same word fits differently into each one of us. We take from it what the Spirit reveals to us. Mm-hmm. But there isn't one of us here that can't come up a notch in our walk with Jesus. Not one of us. Right. There's not one of us that has so much of the Holy Ghost on us that we don't need any more. Not one of us. There's not one of us that has everything that we need for where we're going. We might have what we need for right now, but that's only a perception anyway. If you have everything that you need right now, that's good, but probably you should have needs that you don't have. In other words, if you have everything that you need right now, you probably should have needs that you don't have right now. Because when you're not walking in faith, you're stagnant. You've got to be walking in faith. And one of the manifestations of the Spirit is the gift, the Scripture calls it gift of faith, but the in the original, it's gifts of faith. Gifts of faith. Plural. Gifts of faith. And more perfectly, when Jesus said, have faith in God, the Scripture is, I'm not thinking about it. There's a Scripture that he talks about, have faith in God. It's Mark 11, 22, 23. I think we ought to turn to it real quick, just because I think it, Mark 11, 22, and I'll end with this, because maybe this will be something that can provoke us a little bit. When Jesus cursed the fig tree, he that ministers unto you the Spirit, this is a perfect illustration, Andre, this is a perfect illustration of how to minister the Spirit, because Jesus ministered the Spirit to the fig tree. He spoke to it. He said, cursed be this tree, let never figs grow on it again. They came by it the next day, it was withered up by the roots, it was dead. They marveled at it. Peter, calling to remember it, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. Jesus answered unto him, have faith in God. You know what the original says? Have the faith of God. Have the faith of God. In the beginning was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. How did God create everything? He spoke it.
Yes.
He spoke it. Yes. Have the faith of God.
Yes.
And so each one of you should be in faith for something. Maybe it would be good for us to think about this as we close this down tonight. Maybe what would be good for you to do is ask yourself this question, what are you in faith for? What are you actively in faith for right now? this week? What are you in faith for? Don't try to figure something out. Something should be coming to every one of you, and if it isn't, it's because you're not in faith.
Right.
It's that simple. Duh. Let me think about it. Well, I just answered it for you. You're not in faith. Get in faith. Get in faith. Derek gave this illustration. He says, what's the difference between a Christmas tree and a fruit tree? Christmas tree has gifts on it that you put there and take off anytime.